just try it. See what happens. Ask the thing. Ask for it or ask for help. Like, whatever you need, don't stew on it. Just try it. Just move forward. And whatever happens, you're farther along than where you started.
Welcome to Common Brits, an infra podcast.
And I'm your host, Haley Craig.
Independent natural food retailers are as diverse and unique as the communities they serve. From urban to rural, East Coast to West Coast, small to large, there's one thing that these stores have in common, a deep commitment to providing healthy foods to their communities. In celebration of Infra's 20th anniversary, we're handing over the mic to 20 Infra members to share their challenges and triumphs in navigating the world of natural food retail. Are our common roots really so common? Let's find out.
Today, we are joined by Dan Stump from Leg Up Farmers Market, and this is their story.
So thank you for joining us today, Dan. Do you mind introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your store?
Sure. So my name's Dan. I work at Leg Up Farmers Market. We are a local independent grocery store in York, Pennsylvania, and we exist to support a therapy center for children with special needs called Leg Up Farm. So York County is a very interesting place. Previous to our store, there was no real healthy natural grocery store in York. And that kind of gives you an idea that York County is not the most progressive when it comes to healthy food, organics, all that kind of stuff. They do have a really strong support for local. They love supporting local. They love supporting their farmers. But we very much faced an education hurdle, helping people understand the importance of organic, the importance of fair trade, the importance of, you know, like, for example, York County's barely ready to start learning about regenerative. You know, like, we're not there yet. We joke around how anything that happens in the West Coast 5 years later happens here. So we've learned we have to really be an education center in addition to being a grocery store. So we find every opportunity we can to link up with other organizations and other local people who also love and believe in healthy food. We've forged a ton of like alliances and partnerships with other local businesses so we can cross promote and share customers who love supporting local. And we also continue to lean deeper and deeper into the local side of things because that is, again, one of the things that York County people really enjoy.
I love it. And with that education piece, I'm sure it also comes into play with your staff as well. So how do you handle training and empowering your staff to then go on to educate customers about natural and organic products?
So fun story about that, before I answer your question. When I first started here, when we first opened 9 years ago, literally only me and the store manager were really able to help customers who wanted to know what quinoa was, who wanted to know how to make kale. Like, it was literally two of us. And it's probably the only reason that I made it in the beginning stages, because I was not good at what I was doing back then. I was trying, but I just wasn't that good at it. And but thankfully, I was excellent with customers. You know, I knew the products and I really believed in healthy eating. Like, healthy eating really changed my life. So I really enjoyed sharing that with our customers. But to answer your question more directly, nowadays, as far as staff, honestly, that's something we could really do better. That's one of those things I wish we had a more structured way in place to educate our staff as they come on board. Unfortunately, as I'm sure a lot of folks listening understand, you know, as a small independent business, you have very limited resources and time. And that's one of those things that we just haven't gotten to prioritize yet. So one of the things that I try to do to balance that out is I try to have a good balance of who we bring on board. So I'm always looking for those people who maybe they're not going to be the fastest stocker in the whole store, but they can talk to customers about why you have to wash quinoa or it's going to taste gross. Like, we have to have a good mix of those people. And in the beginning, we really didn't. I was just kind of this outlier who happened to know that and really wanted to work here. So I would say right now, it's more of like that hiring balance. It's finding, you know, those people who there's not a lot of in York County comparatively to other places. But find those people and making sure that I prioritize, hey, this person is a great resource for customers. Another place that I focus on that really heavily is our wellness department. My wellness department is people who are very knowledgeable and educated. That's a very high priority for that department. And then we have them there for if there is no one else in the grocery department or anywhere else that can help that customer. Hey, let's take you to the wellness folks because they're specifically there to spend time with you and share their experience.
And when did LegUp join Infra, and what initially motivated you to want to become a member?
So we've been a member of Infra from the very beginning. I was not involved at that level when the store first opened. I actually started here as a part-time grocery stocker. So when we first opened, I didn't know anything about Infra, to be honest. But what I think has, I can guess at what motivated us originally, but I can tell you like, if when I started operating the store, we weren't a member of Infra, I can tell you what would have made us a member of Infra is the unbelievable amount of support that we get that I can't imagine where else you would get it in all aspects, any aspect like that we ever need support. We know we have Infra in our corner. The supply agreements are huge. It's absolutely no chance. I have no idea how we could possibly be open and be competitive without Infra going to bat for us and other Infra stores to negotiate good pricing for us so we can pass that on to our customers. York County is a very like efficiency, economy focused place. So we have to be price competitive. We don't get to be like the fancy place where you go for specialty items. Like we would last like 2 months if that's what we were trying to be. We must be competitive. We must keep things affordable and balance the quality difference with a small price increase or else our store won't be sustainable. So again, that's one of the things that Infra makes possible for us, which I think is a huge reason that I'm really grateful for them. The connections is huge. Being able to go to the Infra conference and really dig deep with specific people who have that specific background and skill set that I don't have and be able to like just dig in and just go deep on specific projects and things we're trying to improve. That's one of my favorite things I get to do because I love learning. On top of that, even when we're not at the conference, like I know I can email our rep and boom, they're going to find me an answer or the person who can answer that for me. Like they're immediately going to, as quick as possible, get us some help and some resolution. And honestly, like Infra has come to our rescue multiple times when early on, I'll just spare you the full details, but we struggled. We struggled early on because we did not have someone at the helm who knew how to operate independently. They came from a corporate background and it's a totally different world. You know, when everything is make or break and it's just you, there's no one coming to save you. And so we really struggled early on, and Infra came to our rescue multiple times to allow us to continue and get to where we are now, to where we are growing, we are successful, and able to accomplish our mission. So Infra deserves a massive amount of credit for us even still being here.
Well, that's awesome. And we're glad to have you a part of Infra as well. And just out of curiosity, do you have other independent or natural stores in York as well? Or is there a lot of big box stores, a lot of corporate competition? What's the landscape of that?
So we actually just last year saw our first what I would consider genuine competition from a corporate store. We had a Sprouts move in 5 minutes down the road from us. And actually with what I would say is a more convenient location than us. Our location has always been a point of struggle. We're a couple minutes from two main arteries, but you have to make an intentional turn down somewhere you're normally not going to go because we're like 3 minutes away from there down a road that's a little bit more obscure. So our location has always been a struggle. There's still people who don't know that we're here, despite our best efforts over the last 5+ years. It was really interesting to face that corporate competition? Because obviously we're scared. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, what's it going to be like? You know, anytime I see a corporate store, I expect that they're going to crush us on pricing and they're going to be able to have like more of something. They're going to be able to lean deeper into something that we can't do because of the resources that they have available. And what's been amazing to me is they opened, I want to say like September. And the first month we saw like a 10% dip. And that, I mean, considering that was like, wow, that's crazy, only 10%. And then over the course of 3 months, it recovered to the point that it's like they're not even there. And it blows my mind, honestly. And I feel like I'm not normally one to, I'm a fairly modest guy. So like, I'm not one to be like, it's because we rock, you know, but at this point, it kind of feels like that. I don't have anything else to point to apart from our customers love our mission. They love supporting local, and we do a really good job being an awesome grocery store that supports local and has a real mission beyond buying a yacht for someone you're never going to meet. Like, that just doesn't do it for me, and I don't think it does it for a lot of people here in York versus, you know, supporting a store that's supporting a therapy center for children with special needs. That's meaningful. And then to top it all off, what shocked me is we're actually priced more competitively than them. Like, we're actually cheaper than the corporate store down the road. And that was just shocking to me. Again, something I was not expecting. So we've been really grateful for that because it really helped people who previously thought we were expensive because they were comparing us to conventional stores to see, oh, wow, actually, Leg Up's really good prices. So like, oh my gosh. And we've actually had quite a few customers now who have told us, even in reviews, like, now that I've seen what a corporate store in this world is like, it really makes me appreciate like a farmer's market again for what they've offered this whole time. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. You know, that meant a lot to me. And the support of our customers has just been phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, and I think now more than ever, people are wanting to support businesses that, you know, align with their ethics and do have a greater mission. And yeah, people are seeking that connection, right? So that's awesome. I'm glad you've experienced that firsthand. And yeah, so as you've mentioned a couple times, Leg Up has a mission that goes beyond just selling food. So do you want to share a little bit more about the Leg Up Farm and your ABLE services programs and why these are important to Leg Up?
Definitely. So I'll start at the beginning. 13 years ago, I think it is now, a gentleman named Louis Castriotta, he had a daughter who developed special needs named Brooke, and he could not find a central place to take her for the different types of therapy and care she needed to help her live her best life. So he would drive hours in different directions to this therapy, that therapist. He'd meet other parents who were just so frustrated and defeated, because it's like, how can you take all that time to see all these different therapists and still have a job? And the job pays the therapy. So it's this impossible situation that has unfortunately been set up for parents who are trying to support their children who might have special needs. So Louis created one central place for all types of therapy to come under one roof. And that is Leg Up Farm. They have all the types of therapy you can imagine and some you can't. They are most well known for their equine or horse therapy. I think last I heard they had 13 horses. And they also do physical therapy, nutrition therapy, speech therapy, play therapy, water therapy. I mean, I can never remember the whole list of everything they offer. They have a school on the second floor for children who struggle in traditional learning environments. Like, it's an amazing resource. And the thing that really helped me appreciate it, and it's hard to share this over voice, but when you have a situation where two different therapists for the same child can talk to each other, it completely changes the potential outcomes for that child. You have situations happening in Legoff Farm that would never happen in the traditional world, where a nutritional therapist and a speech therapist who are helping the same child can sit down and say, hey, I noticed that Billy was more vocal just 2 days ago. Did you change anything with his diet plan? I did. I removed tomatoes. Maybe there's a reflux issue going on that's affecting his comfort level with speaking. That's a breakthrough for that child and that family that would have never happened. It is very unlikely to happen in the traditional environment where the therapists aren't able to talk to each other because they're in two totally different locations. And that story really opened my eyes to what Legoff Farm is doing for children in our community. And you also mentioned ABLE Services. ABLE Services is sort of the adult extension of our special needs programs. So they are more focused on like day program, occupational therapy. They have a really nice greenhouse over there. They do a lot of growing. They find that's very therapeutic to be able to put effort into, you know, plants every single day. And it takes time and persistence and patience. And then to be able to get the reward of seeing them bloom or grow or produce something, you know. One of my favorite things that we get to do is in the fall, they grow mums, and we actually get to sell their mums at our store. And it's one of the few times we get to like full mission link. And I love it. I get really excited about that. We pretty much sell out of the mums every year because, you know, as you said, our customers love what our mission is and love supporting it. So when we tell them the participants at ABLE Services helped grow these mums, they're like, oh, let's go. Like, give me all the mums.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, just like what an impact LegUp has on your community. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, great. And I'm curious to know, what would you say is one of, or maybe the most valuable lesson you have learned in your time running your business?
Oh, boy.
It's a hard one.
Oh, man. I've had to learn so much and so many lessons. So there's a lot. There's a long list that could honestly easily be an hour just of the different things that I have learned, either voluntarily or involuntarily, because either I learn it or something doesn't happen. But I would say the biggest and most impactful thing that I learned and continue to remind myself is try it. Do it. The worst thing that happens is it doesn't work. They say, no, we can't do that. A lot of this I've learned from Louie, because you can imagine starting a nonprofit therapy center for children with special needs. You get a lot of no's. His story behind what it took to open that facility is unbelievable. And the amount of opposition he faced, despite it being a resource for the community and a nonprofit. And so Louie has really done a lot to teach me, just try it. See what happens. Ask the thing. Ask for it or ask for help. Like, whatever you need, don't stew on it. Just try it. Just move forward. And whatever happens, you're farther along than where you started.
Okay, great. And kind of on that same note, what is something that you love or that excites you about the natural foods industry?
So I think my personal favorite thing about the industry as a whole, this might be a little specific, but the independence, the uniqueness of like all the infra stores. Like when I get to go and do store tours and stuff like that, and I just love how unique it is. I love seeing what other people do because there's no cookie cutter. There's no right answer. There's no planogram, you know, for the best independent store. And I just love that. Like, that's just fun to me. It's one of the things that professionally I enjoy here. Like, if our customers get excited about something, I don't need approval. Like, we're just going to do it because our customers are excited. And I have like a bunch of examples of times we've done that. And it's just been so fun to see the response, the enthusiasm, the excitement that we get to do that. And if I can give a second part to that, I think my personal favorite thing, it's semi-related to the industry, to your question. My personal favorite thing that we get to do because we're part of the industry is supporting local farmers. I also, maybe that's part of my York County, because I grew up in York County, and maybe that got to me too. But I just, the farmers that we've gotten to work with are just the most down-to-earth, real people who just want to grow food and feed people. And I just love that. And I just respect the heck out of that. We work with a family now called Mad Radish Farm, 6 miles from the store. They're one of the only very few places in York, maybe the only place in York that actually has growing organically. And they are just this wonderful family. They have 3 kids, a golden retriever, and they're just running this farm. Like, they moved down here to buy a farm. And I've gotten to do multiple interviews with them now. And we've done videos with them to help our customers appreciate what they're doing. And it's those times when I just get to talk to them and they're like, we just want to grow food. That's what we want to do. We love doing it. We want to grow food. We want to grow good food for people in the community. That's what we love to do. And I just love that. And I love that we get to be part of that process to where we get to, you know, because they'll self-define and say, we're good at this part, but we're not great at the marketing part and all that. Like, so I love that we get to be essentially resource for them to help them do what they love, focus on growing quality food, and then we get to take it from there and do the part that we love doing, which is bringing it to the community.
Awesome. And yeah, so keeping on the theme of talking about local products a little bit, do you have any favorite local or unique products that you carry in Leg Up that you want to shout out?
We do, yeah. So Mad Radish Farm, who I mentioned, is one of my favorites because their produce is amazing. Like, it's nothing beats it. There's nothing we get in ever competes to what they grow. But a really specific local product that I'm actually the reason it came into the store is something we have called no-mato sauce. So I can't eat tomatoes, or I really don't feel good if I do. And before I even worked here, I had found a local lady who actually makes an imitation tomato sauce out of other vegetables. And I would literally call the lady who makes it up and order it by the case from her. And so when I ended up working here for a while, I was like, hey, I wonder if she would sell to us. And now we have her product on the shelf. It's super cool. It's delicious. It lets me eat like a lot more stuff that I otherwise couldn't have. And now we sell a ton of it because it turns out I'm not the only person in York County who can't eat tomatoes. So that's one of those really cool little stories of like this small out of her home level local place. And now she's grown to the point that it gets created and labeled and all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. And you've gotten to see that growth. So that's really cool.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dan. Is there anything else that you would like to share before I let you go?
We are actively doing a fundraiser for Mad Radish Farm to help them afford some equipment. So every year we sit down and have a detailed conversation with our local farmers to plan. How's it going? Are we supporting, you in all the ways that we can? And I found out that we have massively increased how much we have been getting from them, which really made me happy. We're now over 50% of the produce that they sell comes through our store, which is really cool. And one of the things that they're facing right now is they are kind of in this situation where they need equipment to become more efficient to then get the money to afford the equipment that they need to become more efficient. They're stuck in this cycle. And I know what that's like because our store's been there before. As I mentioned, it wasn't always easygoing for us. And so after some thought and reflection, we actually started a fundraiser for them that we're doing through the month of March. So we have a donor box thing where people can donate. We've already collected, I think, $2,500 from just local people who want to support a small farm. And we're also our roundups at the register and taking donations at the register. All that's going to go to them. And the store is going to match that up to $1,000 as well. We've already had someone give $100 at the register after we told them about Mad Radish Farm. And they probably already know about the farm because a lot of people know Mad Radish Farm here because they have such a great reputation. But that's really cool. I'm really excited about that. We've already hit the goals of the first two pieces of equipment that they need. So now we're targeting our stretch goal, which is to let them get a new tractor. I just went over and did a video with them earlier this week, and they are using a 1940 tractor that they have to hand crank to start. And I was like, guys, how can I help you get a tractor that from this century? It was wild to see what they're working with. And to them, it's just what they have. So it's what they use. And again, I just respect the heck out of the resilience of our farmers and their willingness to work unbelievably hard to bring us healthy food. One of the other things that we do with the community is for quite a few years now, we found a local food bank that we give our extra food to. So as things in the store, you know, go past when we can sell them, we send it to them and they're really happy to have the food. We have done, as I've gotten to see what Harvest of Blessing is doing for the community and just the commitment and determination that they have to feed people who are in need, we found other ways to support them. So across a couple of initiatives that we did, we, over the last, in quarter four last year, were able to raise a total of $8,100 in a combination of direct cash for them and food that we get to send them to support them. So that was really cool. That's one of those times where I'm blown away by the generosity of our customers and their willingness to help us support other local community organizations. I really love doing that.
Thank you for tuning in to Common Roads. This episode has been made possible thanks to the hard work of Infra staff and Infra member contributors. To learn more about the retailers we serve, visit our retailer directory at naturalfoodretailers.com/retailer-directory.